BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the FemForce podcast. My name is Rachel Pasquan, and I am your host. And today I am joined by my new friend, Natalie. Natalie is a health coach specializing in gut health, digestive issues, autoimmune conditions, and helping women create a sustainable health journey. So we're going to be talking about navigating chronic illness. We're going to talk about healing beyond the symptoms, gut health, women's health, all the things that, you know, the future of holistic wellness is going to bring. So Natalie, thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
So tell us about the work that you're doing today.
Yeah. So as you mentioned a little bit, I'm a certified holistic nutritionist with an advanced training in gut health. So I help women heal their chronic digestive issues naturally and for good using a root cause approach so they can actually break free from symptoms and get their lives back.
So what inspired you to focus on specifically gut health and autoimmune conditions, which is really rare for people, number one, to even understand that they have, understand it in general, or, you know, for you to be working in that kind of field?
Yeah, so it really links back to my personal story. So I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which is an inflammatory bowel disease and also an autoimmune condition back when I was in university. So I was really disappointed with how the conventional medical system dealt with the issue. They basically told me that it was incurable and that I'd have to be on medications for the rest of my life, which really didn't sit well with me. So from there, I decided to pursue training and holistic nutrition to take matters into my own hands.
I love that. And I mean, being diagnosed with something, let alone something that a lot of people don't know about, what was that like after you received your diagnosis?
Yeah, I felt really hopeless, defeated, lost, confused, overwhelmed, the whole plethora of emotions. And I really felt like at that point I wasn't going to be able to live the life that I had actually dreamed of. So I started looking at some alternative approaches, visiting different practitioners in an effort to get things under control. But I also felt that a lot of these approaches were not very holistic or were very restrictive. And I just didn't think that that was something I was going to be able to sustain, nor did I want to. So, yeah.
I feel like when you're going through the healthcare system, let alone going through a healthcare journey, you're seeing one doctor for this, and then they're like, oh, well, this is my very specific niche specialty, and then you have to see another doctor for this, and like no one's talking to each other. Like, that's my biggest takeaway from our healthcare system. That's such a negative. What challenges did you face in the system?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the big ones. And I think once I got assigned a gastroenterologist, which here in Canada can take quite some time, but once I actually had my colonoscopy done and received the official diagnosis, I found one of the challenges was that there was very little support after that beyond medications. So I asked about, you know, diets or lifestyle factors, things such as, should I limit my alcohol consumption or should I get off the birth control pill? And the consistent responses that I received were that these things didn't make any difference. And I personally found that really difficult to believe just based on common sense. Yeah. So there really wasn't any additional follow-up on that beyond just take these medications and you're off on your way. So
when did you realize that you know, needed to take that different approach? When they were like, here, there you go, bye, here's your stuff.
Yeah, so when I started taking the medications and I started experiencing some side effects from them, and I realized that this wasn't going to be able to be a permanent solution for me, so I'd have to find a different way of dealing with it. I also went to a naturopathic doctor and they gave me an elimination diet, And again, it's a very like restrictive kind of deprivation approach. And I realized like, this is not how I could live my life forever. I was pretty miserable cutting out all those foods just because I am a foodie and I've always loved food. So I just knew that I had to find a different way.
And so you went into this, you know, the holistic approach and going in completely different direction. Mm-hmm. You were working in corporate, like 9-to-5 kind of thing, while you were also studying holistic nutrition. What was your journey like within the holistic lifestyle, you know, to get to health coaching?
Yeah, I think like to get to health coaching, like I had to... Sorry, can you repeat the question? I just got lost in my...
No. So what inspired you to basically, what inspired you to pursue holistic nutrition? What made you want to go from being in corporate to this very different niche?
Okay. Yeah. So my own journey with my digestive struggles and experiencing how difficult it was to find the answers and the amount of misinformation out there, I really at that point made it my mission to help simplify healing for myself and for other women who might be in the same place as me, feeling all the same overwhelming feelings. So I just didn't want other people to experience the disappointment the same way that I did. So.
So as you're learning how to be a coach and you've gone through this, so it's not like you went specifically to go to med school or anything, you know, you've had this personal life experience of needing a holistic approach to be able to live your life the way that you want to live it, which is a pretty normal life. Mm-hmm. How does that affect the way that you coach people, like your personal experience?
Yeah, I think having gone through that, I have a really deep understanding of what people go through specifically with these types of chronic illnesses, autoimmune conditions that don't necessarily have a clear-cut answer. And I have a lot of empathy for that. I truly feel for the women that come to me. I also know how overloaded people get with information, or they're feeling that sense of desperation for a solution. And so that's why my goal with clients is really to keep things very simple and actionable. It's about incremental changes and following more of like an 80-20 approach. So it's not about perfection. It's just doing the best you can with what you have.
I mean, I love that you have to do the best you can with what you have, because sometimes, a lot of times with these, I feel like people are like, take 45 different supplements. You have to do a Dutch test every other month. And a lot of that's just not conducive to a lifestyle, let alone financially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
When you went from, you know, being in corporate to this extreme, like not to this extreme, but to this extremely different kind of work environment, you're becoming an entrepreneur. You're starting your own business. How has that shaped who you are and your work? Because it's completely different from going from a 9-to-5 working in a corporation, going in, you know, striking out on your own.
Yeah, it's a very different mindset and skill set that you need to have. And it definitely hasn't been easy. I think one of the things that I've learned over the years is that I really have to make sure that I'm taking care of my own health and well-being first and foremost, especially being in the industry, you know, working a demanding corporate job. But like my nutrition business is really what does fill my cup. But it also, you know, it's pouring out of my cup and supporting others. So I need to pour that back into myself. So I think it's really about finding that balance, managing my schedule in a way that's sustainable, gives me time for self-care, eating properly, doing all the fitness things. And yeah.
I love that. And when it comes to like health, a lot of things are just so trendy. It's, you know, no carbs, then Atkins, then, you know, now people are very focusing on gut health. And why is gut health so important though to overall wellness?
Yeah, so I love this question because your whole body is connected. So as you touched on earlier, where, you know, there's different doctors for different things that we see, and they treat it as a very isolated kind of thing, which is really not the case. Your gut is actually the foundation of your health. It's closely linked with your nervous system, your immune system, hormonal system, every single organ system in your body. So the foods that you eat and absorb and digest quite literally make up your cells. And that's why I always start there.
And so what are some signs, like if I'm not feeling good, or I'm having different like chronic health issues and I can't figure it out, what are some signs that the gut health is affecting things?
Yeah, so the signs can be really broad and sometimes seemingly unrelated to digestion. So there's some more obvious ones, like obviously constant bloating or heartburn. That's definitely not normal and something to look into further. But some are less obvious. So for example, like low energy could mean that you're not getting what you need from your diet. Or even if you're eating super healthy, maybe your body's not able to absorb and break down those foods through the digestive process. Another one would be anxiety because of the gut-brain axis. So most of your neurotransmitters like serotonin are produced in your gut. Or if you're getting sick very often, again, your immune system is also mostly housed in the gut. So this could be a sign that things are not functioning well there. Another common one is skin issues, almost always linked to the gut, and could be a sign of detoxification processes that aren't working properly. And also hormonal imbalances, because sometimes hormones can build up in the body if you're not eliminating properly. That's one of the main tasks of the digestive system. So those hormones or toxins can build up and then lead to issues downstream.
Hormones. The worst, and especially for women, because our hormones are related to so many things like our gut, like our stress levels. And I don't know what woman out there isn't stressed, good for them if they are. But all of that comes back to like how your skin, like you said, how your skin reacts, how all of these things are happening. When it comes to autoimmune disease, so I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's like 4 or 5 years ago, but how is your digestive health like connected to autoimmune disease? Because you talked a lot about them being intertwined.
Yes. Yeah. So I kind of touched on already, but the gut and the immune system are really closely linked. And actually the majority of the immune system, about 70 to 80% is located in your gut. So your intestines are constantly exposed to food, bacteria, viruses, and other things. And so a healthy gut is supposed to teach the immune system to respond appropriately. But when the gut is unhealthy, the immune system can become overactive or dysregulated. I can't say that word. It increases the risk of autoimmune activity in people who are sometimes more genetically susceptible. So there's a lot of bacteria, trillions of bacteria living in your intestines that can help regulate inflammation. And research has found that many autoimmune diseases are associated with changes in the gut microbiome, or also called dysbiosis. So as you mentioned, Hashimoto's is one of those, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, IBD, inflammatory bowel disease, as I suffered with, lupus, type 1 diabetes, the list goes on.
So this is a great list.
Yeah, it's an extensive list. And this doesn't mean that dysbiosis causes these diseases on its own, but it may contribute to some immune dysfunction. And then also the lining of your intestine is meant to act like a filter. So it allows nutrients into the bloodstream, but it also keeps bacteria, toxins, and undigested food particles inside the gut, so outside of the bloodstream. So if this barrier becomes more porous or permeable, sometimes called leaky gut or increased intestinal permeability, more substances can cross into the bloodstream. And that's what can stimulate the immune system and increase inflammation. So researchers are now studying the process that contributes to these autoimmune diseases, although it's not considered the sole cause. And then inflammation in the digestive tract doesn't stay there. Immune signaling molecules actually circulate throughout your whole body and contribute to systemic inflammation, worsening autoimmune system or symptoms. And then this relationship can go both ways. So, for example, someone with celiac disease, celiac directly damages the small intestine. So it kind of goes back and forth. In the case of inflammatory bowel disease, this causes chronic intestinal inflammation and damage to your tissues. In Hashimoto's, this can actually slow digestion, because when you have low thyroid hormone levels, that reduces gut motility. And then some autoimmune medications can also change the gut microbiome or affect digestion. So really, it's like a two-way street. Yeah.
What misconceptions do people have about gut health? I feel like right now, like I said before, it's really trendy. And all I see is, you know, probiotic ice cream, probiotic this, and all of these kind of things. What are the misconceptions that you see the most about?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a lot of like those kind of like enriched different types of foods. And I think I'm going to go back to like what I said a little bit earlier, where it's like, it's not isolated just to your gut. Like everything, your gut affects your entire body, every organ system in the body. I think a few other just kind of more generic gut-related ones would be like for example, going to the bathroom and having a bowel movement once every 3 days is totally normal, which is not actually the case. Like, you should be going once a day. And also, like, people don't really have a habit of, like, looking at their stool, seeing the consistency and the color. Not necessarily a misconception, but I think it's something that's, like, more so overlooked, because this can be a huge indicator of your gut health. And one thing you can use for that actually is the Bristol stool chart. So for anyone watching along, you can kind of Google that and take that on your own. Another one I touched on, that constant bloating is normal. I think doctors will kind of gaslight some people into that and be like, oh, you have IBS, it's all normal. So I think these are all kind of some general, more general gut misconceptions that I see people commonly coming to me with. Yeah.
And so we were talking about, you know, women and how hormones are just insane for women. And, you know, premenopausal, postmenopausal, menopausal, all of the things that are menopausal and, you know, getting pregnant, IVF, all these things that we're doing to our bodies. Why are women more likely to experience autoimmune conditions, though, comparative to men? Is it because of our hormones fluctuating so much?
So that's part of it. There's, like, actually, like, a few things. Scientists believe that it's due to a combination of hormones, genetics, immune system differences, and environmental factors rather than, like, one single thing. So lucky for us, women's immune systems are generally stronger in clearing infections and responding to vaccines. But because of this, we can also, well, not we, but our immune systems can also more commonly mistake our own body tissues because they're more overactive and start attacking them. And then to touch on the hormones, sex hormones like estrogen actually enhance the immune response. Progesterone can help calm the response, and testosterone actually suppresses the response. So this is a reason why men are much less likely to have autoimmune conditions, because of the higher testosterone flowing through their bodies. A couple other reasons. So women have two X chromosomes. So this actually poses a greater risk, as women have a higher expression of certain immune genes. And then, as you mentioned, pregnancy also changes the immune system for the body to adapt to tolerating the development of a baby while still protecting against infection. So this means that some women can experience flares, or on the opposite side, remission during pregnancy. Sometimes you just don't know which way it's going to go. Also the gut microbiome can play a role. There's still more research being done on this, but mainly genetic predisposition. And then there's environmental triggers as well, such as viral or bacterial infections, smoking, long-term stress, medications, and environmental exposures.
I mean, that's a long list.
Yeah.
What kind of conversations are women's, you know, around women's health need more attention, do you feel like?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of conversation right now happening about how women are underrepresented in the medical research. Up until recently, most clinical trials were mostly done on men, which is pretty crazy to think. And then also the symptoms that women experience tend to be taken less seriously than men, unfortunately. And sometimes this can be due to the fact that women's symptoms actually present differently for certain conditions, such as in the case of a heart attack, where maybe they won't have the typical chest pain. It can be more shortness of breath or anxiety. I mean, it's just one example among many. Also, the pain that women experience is also often underestimated and more so attributed to emotional factors. And then women will wait longer to receive pain medication or to deal with their chronic pain conditions. They're more likely to be dismissed before even receiving a diagnosis. So that's why it can take years to get an autoimmune diagnosis, unfortunately. I think there's been a lot of significant improvement in these areas, but I think there are still very much ongoing conversations, and we've got a long way to go.
What they're saying, like women being dismissed in these rooms and having, you know, this, which is something we hear about all the time. They'll be like, oh, it's your hormones, you're fine, go back, when it could be something so much greater, or multiple underlying issues of things that are all connected, but you only have that one specialty doctor. How should women be advocating more for themselves?
Yeah, I think this is super important. And I think it really comes down to, like, when something doesn't feel right in your body, really trust your intuition or your gut feeling, because oftentimes it's not far off the target. Like, they talk about women's intuition being a thing, and it actually is. The other thing is, I would definitely recommend getting a second opinion wherever possible. Don't be afraid to ask questions and come prepared for your appointments. I think sometimes women rely on the doctor to like give them everything that they need. But I would say, like, do your research. Be firm and persistent when you're requesting different types of testing. Like, obviously be respectful to the doctor, but really advocate for yourself. And in some cases, it's actually worth it to pay out of pocket for additional care, additional testing, if you're not able to get that through your doctor.
Okay. Well, I love that. And I mean, when it comes to like, if we've tried that, it's not working, we decide to do a holistic approach, which I think you should be looking at doing both to begin with. But when you talked about doing a holistic approach, a lot of people were eliminating foods and like, you can't eat this, you can't eat this, you can't eat this, which, as you said, that's no way to live. And if you like food, like, that's, it's not fun, nor is it really conducive to anybody's lifestyle. So why is your approach adding foods rather than eliminating them?
Yeah. So I think when people think about eliminating foods, it can come off as very restrictive and limiting, and really nobody wants to feel that way. Yeah. I think in some cases it's absolutely necessary in the short term, but I like to look at it more adding, or actually even more commonly replacing foods. It's a much better way of looking at dietary adjustments to help prevent overwhelm. So it's as simple as finding healthier versions of the foods that you already enjoy. And I think that's what helps to make things more sustainable.
And so if you're doing all of these different things, what are the foundational holistic habits that would have the biggest impact, you think?
Yeah, I think like this is going to sound super annoyingly simple, but focusing on consistency and those small incremental improvements. I think people often think you need to do like a whole overhaul, where that's really not the case. These small changes will have the biggest impact on your health. So like I mentioned already earlier, but instead of aiming for a perfectly clean diet, focus on the 80% and then let yourself kind of have that 20%. Focus on more nourishing your body. Aiming to improve your digestion. It's not just like what you eat, but it's also what you absorb and assimilate. So you really need to get your body into a rest and digest state before you eat, so that you can properly digest. So I think what that looks like is shifting out of fight or flight. Because during fight or flight, basically your body diverts all of its resources to your extremities so you can run away, and away from the organ systems like digestion. So I think that working on that would really have a big impact. And this can look like taking a few deep breaths before you eat to shift back into rest and digest, not eating when you're rushing or at your desk, just taking a moment to even pause and just feel grateful before you're about to sit down for a meal. I think that can have a huge impact.
I need to work on that more, trust me. And like, especially the breathing part, like when I learned about like your body's in flight or like, or it's in relaxed stage, and my body's 99% of the time in fight or flight, they're like, that's not normal. It should be an equal balance, which is so interesting. So I'm like, oh, well, something we're going to work on there. And tapping is something that I also work on. To restrict your mind and things like that, guys, to create a little hack. You do a lot of functional tests to make sure that we, you know, like what's going on with the person, you know, all the way down in those kind of layers, and to give you like a really well-rounded view of them. What kind of tests are you doing on clients?
Yeah, so I can order a variety of tests, but my preferred like number one go-to test with clients is the GI map. So the GI map is a stool test, and it essentially looks for the DNA of microorganisms in your gut. So instead of growing bacteria in a lab like a traditional stool culture, it actually uses a technology called PCR to detect tiny amounts of genetic material from bacteria, viruses, parasites, fungi, and other microbes. Basically what it does is, if you think about your gut like a city with trillions of residents, the GI map is like taking a census to see who's living there and whether some groups are unusually high, unusually low, are missing. So it's very comprehensive, gives a lot of useful insights. And it's not a test that doctors offer, which is why it's one of the ones that I really like doing with my clients as a first kind of line of defense.
What surprises people the most when they receive their results?
Yeah, I think it's just about how much like useful information there is that they didn't even know could or is available to them. And yeah, like it can look at things such as like the bacteria, pathogens, parasites, but also it shows different markers of digestion, like your pancreatic enzymes, inflammation, different immune activity, whether you have leaky gut, intestinal barrier markers. So there's just such a plethora of data that it provides. And sometimes the answer is really simple. You look at one marker and you're like, okay, that's it. And sometimes it's a more of like a synergistic approach of a few different things working together. But yeah, I think that just how profound the data and the insights that they get from that are often kind of is that missing puzzle piece for people that they haven't been able to find.
And so I want to go back a little bit and talk about the health trends, because it flabbergasts me when I go on TikTok or on Instagram and it's something's always new. There's a new nut of the year. There's a new nut milk every year. Like pistachios are having their moment there, even though they've been around forever. So what health trends concern you the most right now that you're seeing?
Yeah, I think the health trend that concerns me is more so now we're seeing like a big focus on like one macronutrient. So I think like protein is having a moment right now and is being infused into anything and everything.
Donuts, protein sodas. I saw that at Target yesterday and I was like, oh, new. Okay.
Yeah. And I think like it's important that we're focusing on all of our macros. So like carbs are just as important, fats, fiber, all those things. But looking beyond the macros, I think looking at the quality and the ingredients of the food that you're eating, if you look at the nutrition label or the ingredient list on a lot of these enriched foods, it's full of a lot of fake chemicals, which can actually be very detrimental to your health long term. A lot of artificial sweeteners, colors, that sort of thing. So I'd really caution people that if you can't understand and read what's on the label, then you probably shouldn't be putting it in your body. So I would say that's one of my biggest concerns, that people are just overlooking that for the sake of like, oh, it's got this amount of protein, but what am I actually eating? So, yeah.
Which is it's a completely different kind of example of health. So What wellness advice do you wish people would stop following completely?
Yeah, I think it's that kind of all or nothing approach. Like you don't need to go gluten-free, dairy-free, et cetera, for the rest of your life. Like if you have celiac or a genuine food allergy, then yes, absolutely. I think like one test that's another one that I didn't really chat about, but is popular is like food sensitivity or intolerance testing, but it's actually not useful because a lot of the time people do this test, they get it back, they see, okay, I'm reacting to these like 10, 20 different foods. And then they kind of go into this restrictive mindset of like, okay, now I can't eat anything.
Yeah.
And I think in that case, what's usually more going on is that, first of all, these people are probably eating the same foods over and over super frequently. So your body actually starts to react to them. You need a bit more diversity in your diet. So that's one part of it. But also in more cases often than not, it's usually that there's some leaky gut going on that needs to be resolved, because these food particles are passing into your bloodstream. And that's why there's an immune response, kind of like I touched on earlier. So the average person should not have that many intolerances. And once you heal your gut, these can actually reverse in most cases. I think the wellness advice would be is if you're living your life on some sort of version of a restricted elimination diet, then there's probably something not right there. And it's worth looking a little bit deeper into.
Okay. Well, I love that. So when it comes to you and growing this business, you know, expanding your education, because things are obviously always changing and helping more women, what do you think is going to be next for you and your business?
Yeah, I think for me, I right now I primarily focus on like one-to-one private coaching. And what I'm trying to do is make my work available to people at all different price points. So that includes some like digital programs, some DIY programs, self-paced type of thing that include my my proven framework that I use with clients, but at a more accessible rate. And then looking towards the fall, I'm also planning to start running like a group coaching program, because I think people really need that more active support and community piece, more specifically around those wanting support receiving or recovering from IBD and ulcerative colitis and that sort of thing. Really offering a lot of different things at different price points and support levels for those who might not necessarily be ready for one-on-one coaching.
Well, I love that. I think all of those things are amazing. And we're going to put some of those things in the show notes. That way people are able to find out about it and, you know, start on their health journey and start on it with you. Last question that I like to ask all of my guests. If you could give one piece of advice to your 16-year-old self, what would that be?
I think it would just be, please don't take your, you know, diagnosis, chronic illness, health challenge, whatever it may be, as a death sentence. I really would encourage anyone to look at their symptoms as smoke to the fire or a signal of something deeper, and really doing the work to uncover what that deeper thing is. And then if you can't get that support from the medical, conventional medical community, then there's no shame in going somewhere else to find that solution. I think it kind of touches back to, you know, advocate for your health. Don't be afraid to ask questions. Don't take no for an answer. I think that's a big one. And also, if something is too good to be true, I know there's like a lot of trends out there with supplements and this and that will fix that. It likely is. I don't think there's like a magic pill solution fix. So if anyone is selling that, I think that's usually not the way to go. But yeah, and just remember that digestion is the foundation of your health. So whether it's something else going on, I would really focus there.
I love that. Natalie, thank you so much for coming on. Tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find the templates and the workbook to book a session with you and start working on their health.
Yeah, so I'm mostly active on Instagram and TikTok. My handle is the same on both. So it's @Natalie_CNP. I've also got my website up. So same, www.natalie-cnp.com. Yeah, and then if you go into the link in my bio on any of those platforms, you can find links to my IBD Healing Blueprint. That's a really great place for people if they're just getting started, or you can book a complimentary clarity call. And yeah, or just send me a DM. I'm always happy to chat.
I love that. So everyone, take a look, make sure that you're checking your health, making sure that you're advocating for yourself and really looking at doing it the holistic way. Because if you're looking at your body as a whole and yourself as a whole, you're going to be healing as a whole. So we're really excited about that. Natalie, thank you again for coming on and talking to everybody about this important topic. And everybody, we'll see you next week.
BetMGM, official partner of Major League Baseball, is bringing the heat all season long. Step up to the plate all season with Swing for the Fences, the free-to-play game where every swing could score you rewards. We're talking parlay boost tokens, odds boost tokens, same-game parlay boosts, and even bonus spins all season long. And the action doesn't stop there. Get more out of every at-bat with MLB same-game parlay boost. Stack your picks and boost your potential payout. Plus, lock in bigger value with MLB odds boost tokens and MLB parlay boost tokens all season long. More boost, more swings, more chances to win. Download the BetMGM app and step up to the plate today. MLB trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus and present in Ohio. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards payback and unrestricted withdrawable funds. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In partnership with MGM Northfield Park.